Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Friends of the 61st, it's my honor and privilege to introduce the page for the day, who sort of looks like me, but not that much like me. My son, Patrick Boyce. He's 9, and I'd ask you all to welcome him.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. If you'd all be seated for a moment, I wanted to read something to you. It's a joint resolution that we all signed. So this resolution has the signatures of all 90 of us, and it's a resolution for the retirement of the Wyoming state flag. The flags for the United States, when they are retired, there's a script. But one of our Boy Scout troops in Rock Springs noticed that there was no script to retire a Wyoming state flag. So their scoutmaster wrote one. And when we adjourn at noon, on noon adjournment, they're going to demonstrate. They're going to put on a mock flag retirement ceremony for all of us within the rotunda. So I hope you'll take a few minutes before you have to rush to committee meetings or lunch and come to this brief little ceremony. But I want to read you the script. This official script, as compiled by Marco Rubeck for the retirement of the Wyoming state flag, is as follows. I am your Wyoming state flag. I am the symbol of your state, of the principles for which we stand. I have become the emblem of your unity, your power, your thoughts, and purpose as a state. I have become a symbol of a growing, changing state with a great future. I have no other character than that which you give me from generation to generation. The choices are yours. I have been flown in majestic silence above all of Wyoming's beauty, a bison on a blue field bordered in white and red, the state seal branded on the bison, the women representing the state motto, equal rights, and the two men representing cattle ranchers and miners. The words livestock, mines, grains, and oil represent Wyoming's wealth. The eagle and shield show support for the United States. The dates 1869 and 1890 tell when Wyoming was organized as a territory and when it became a state. The red border represents the Indians who knew and loved the country long before the settlers came, and the blood of the pioneers who gave their lives reclaiming the soil. White is the emblem of purity and uprightness over Wyoming. Blue, the color of the sky and mountains, symbolic of fidelity, justice, and virility. But tonight my colors reflect my years, for I am faded, tattered, and worn. Rather than reflect misunderstanding upon those characters and colors for which I have flown, I must be retired in order that fresh colors might be raised. The only proper retirement of my emblems is to return to earth through fire, for fire symbolically denotes the presence of God. For nearly 100 years, I have been the banner of hope and freedom for the Wyoming people. You have looked on me as a symbol of unity. You have prayed that you and your fellow citizens might continue to enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So long as you love liberty more than life itself, so long as truth, justice, and charity for all remain rooted deeply in human hearts, I shall continue to be the enduring banner of the great state of Wyoming. And up in the gallery are the troop that are responsible for this, troop number 70 from Rock Springs. If you'd hold your applause, I'll read their names, and then we can welcome to the House of Representatives in unison. First, Marco Rubeck, Scoutmaster and the author of this script. Bud Allen, the District Executive. Terry Sell, David Thorne, Matt O'Hare, Corey Sainer. The Senior Patrol Leader, Tanner Lindig. Brandon Thorne, Caden Hearn, Joey King, Derek Bittner, Trevor O'Hare, Nick Sayersgall, and Ryan O'Hare, who's a Cub Scout. Help me welcome them to the
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Concerning the resolution that was just read on the floor, I find it interesting, and I may be wrong. I hope somebody corrects me. But a lot of times we take a flag, fly it over the Capitol, and then give it to somebody. And I happen to know a Texas legislator that collects the flags. And I got the Texas flag from him. But the interesting thing about it, there's a proclamation that comes with that flag that came from Texas. And according to what he said, many of the states do the same. So perhaps with a slight modification, I'd be good, more than happy to work with the representative. We can make a little modification, and whether it's a bill or not, but encourage that we have something to attach to the flag when it's flown over the state capitol, and we pass it on to people. You'd be surprised how many people ask for the nation's flag to be flown over the U.S. Capitol, and I believe there's a proclamation that comes out with it, too. But I just thought I'd pass that on, and I'll work with the good representative to see if we can come up with something, and anybody else is welcome to help.
Thank you. We are at that order of business. Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 9th, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman, Representative Kasparik.
And ladies and gentlemen, the doctor of the day is Dr. John Healy from right here in Cheyenne. Just don't know where he is at the moment. Probably attending to the Senate. Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor, please.
Please proceed.
Just want to point out a great group of young people that are up in the gallery from my hometown of Casper, from Casper Kelly Walsh High School, a group of history and government students led by Ms. O'Brien, and they're here for the day to watch us, and also they're going to move on this afternoon and expand their learning experience to F.E. Warren Air Force Base, and just wish you all rise, and we can recognize you.
Members of the House, today we celebrate breast cancer survivorship and honor those who have lost their battle with the disease. And it is also a day when we recognize the activists of the Komen Wyoming affiliate and their individual contributions to the breast cancer movement. And so today we have several board members and volunteers of the Komen Wyoming affiliate on the floor and in the gallery that I would like to the body to recognize at this time. So please join me in welcoming these Komen Wyoming affiliate members to the House of Representatives. And in addition, our good Representative Tom Lockhart, who serves as the team leader for the House of Representatives Race for the Cure team, would like to say a few words on how you can help this worthwhile cause. Representative Lockhart, you have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's with great pleasure that I have a chance to speak with you all about the Komen efforts in breast cancer. I was privileged and honored to be the chair for the House of Representatives with vice chairs that have turned over in the years to kind of lead the legislature to a strong commitment for this very important cancer issue that we've done a great job in Wyoming. It started out as an idea in the governor's mansion about 12 years ago, and it's grown to the largest event in the state and the best fundraiser in the state. And with that background, I'd like to encourage all of you to do what one person's already done, and that's to take what you were put on your desk about contributions and bring it to myself or Floyd Escobel, who's going to co-chair this year. He has some personal commitments in this area, and I think it's great to have Floyd there. With that, if you would listen to these nice ladies, I think you'll find out that they know a lot more about this than any of us do, and they'll show us how we lead to the forward. One of the issues is the race that is on August 3rd, as I recall. You don't have to participate in that to contribute to the race, because a lot of people are scattered around the state. But my wife and I have had the privilege of making all but one of those races since its inception. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to, I guess, Ashley, or who's going to speak first? Sandy?
Sandy.
And by the way, the team between the Senate and the House has gotten first place in different times on the participation in the drive and in the race.
Thank you very much. I wasn't really expecting to talk today. But, you know, like my son Brian, I can always find something to say. But but anyway, we thank Representative Lockhart for doing this, and we are so pleased with the turnout that we've had with the House of Representatives, and we're going to have a great race this year, and we've got our chairman here from the race, and they are just going gung-ho, and one of our board members, and we are, you know, really looking forward to this, and we hope that you can be in the race too, or at least contribute to it. We know that we have many members here on the floor who have had breast cancer or have spouses or mothers who have had breast cancer, and even some men, but thank you very much.
Well, on behalf of, do you have something else? Or? On behalf of the House of Representatives, I want to thank all of you for joining us today, also those of you up in the gallery, and would encourage all the House members, if you can make it back on August 13th here in Cheyenne, to sign up for the actual race. And if you you can't make it back for that, then, of course, you can sponsor somebody. And so I encourage you to do that. So thank you very much, ladies. We're at that order of business, Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 103.
Senate Bill 103, introduced by Senator Hines.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Gillette-Madison Water Project financing.
Senate File 103 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 107.
Senate Bill 107, introduced by Senator Meyer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to counties, energy-impacted county roads program.
Senate File 107 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 144.
Senate File 144, introduced by Senator Nicholas.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government, state-funded construction projects preference provisions.
Senate File 144 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 121.
Senate File 121, introduced by Senator Beepout.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to environmental quality performance-based evaluation and design.
And Senate File 121 was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, Economic Development. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 143.
Senate File 143, introduced by Senator Beebout.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public funds, federal natural resource policy.
Senate File 143 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, Economic Development. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29, introduced by the Development of Intellectual Programs.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Medicaid program, Developmental Disability Services.
Senate File 29 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. We are at that order of business. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 16 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, signed Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 36 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, signed Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 55 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zwanitzer, Dan. No, Hunt, signed Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 81, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Zwanitzer, Dan, Vice Chairman.
At that order of business, bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to campaign finance.
Senate File 3 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to elections, military, and overseas voters.
Senate File 4, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 5.
Senate File 5, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to state lands regarding improvements.
Senate File 5, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to agriculture and animals, Animal Damage Management Board reports.
Senate File 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 20.
Senate File 20, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to election code revisions.
Senate File 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to the Paramutual Commission.
Senate File 27, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 35.
Senate File 35, introduced by Senator Anderson, an act relating to the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy.
Representative Gingrey, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday we discussed this a little bit. I certainly understand the director needing some authority, and so the majority of the bill is fine. My concern was on page 2, lines 14 through 17, and what this amendment does is delete that out. What that part was allowing the director to promulgate rules and regulations dealing with disciplinary rules for the students. A few different concerns I had there. The one right above that, Romanet 2, he establishes policies and procedures for a safe, healthy, and productive training environment. I don't have an issue with him creating policies and procedures, and I actually would have hoped he already had those in place. I get concerned when we hand out the authority for rules and regulations. We need to be careful when we do that. And so that was the first part, was concern about giving the power for rule and regulation. The second part was allowing him to have the ability to discipline employees of the sheriff or the chief of police that sent it, the individual there to be trained. If that individual is doing something they shouldn't be doing, maybe they cheated on a test, they did something wrong, that needs to be reported back to the employer or the sheriff or the chief of police, and the sheriff or chief of police make a determination how they want to handle that situation. And some people do, just to make it clear, because somebody asked me this yesterday, some people do go to Law Enforcement Academy that are not employees of anybody. They just decide they just want to go to Law Enforcement Academy, and you certainly can do that. But I think they can handle that, those issues through policies and procedures, meaning if you cheat on a test, you have to leave or something like that, whatever they want to do. But as to disciplining, I think that should be, if that's your employee, it should be your employer making the determinations as to your discipline. I would sort of couch this as, imagine sending your employee that you have, not in law enforcement, just any business you have, sending them to some type of training. Maybe it's just a week-long training somewhere else. And if they're messing up, would not you want to be the one, the employer, to be handing out the discipline, whatever that is, and not whoever you sent them to train that person? That was the issue, and so I leave it at that.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some concerns about this amendment, and I'm willing to work with the good Speaker Pro Tem on a third reading amendment. My concern is that we have the director, and we charge him with running a school. Not unlike when you send your children to school, and the parents should be in charge of discipline, and in fact, they are in charge of discipline in many cases. But they have to set the standards for how to operate that school and what conduct is expected and what conduct is not expected, and sometimes that conduct may not rise to the level of notification of the employer. It just may be these are the rules and the behavior we expect if you come to our school. And we do that for ourselves here. The voters send us here, and if we misbehave, the voters can remove us. But for the orderly conduct of our business here, we impose rules on ourselves. And so I think it's important that we give the director the ability to run his school in the fashion that sees fit. Now, I don't know if it's necessary to have rules and regulations to do that, but it seems to be that we should have standards for conduct, particularly in our law enforcement academy, on how to behave. And so at this time, I would be on and against the amendment.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am on and in favor of this amendment. I really do believe that on page 2, lines 10 through 12, put in statute that the director of the academy can establish policies and procedures that covers everything. A safe, healthy, productive training environment certainly covers code of conduct. But to allow the director to have what we, promulgating rules and regulations, that's a statutorily defined process that gives that individual a lot of authority. And I don't think that they need to be able to promulgate rules and regs. I just don't think it's necessary. So I definitely think it's covered very adequately on lines 10 through 12, putting it in statute that he can establish policies and procedures. And I'm on and in favor of this amendment.
Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I won't continue my ballad from yesterday. I'll instead address this amendment. And I want to tell you that I would be against this amendment and ask you to push back on this. When we set up a school, especially as one as large as this one and as important as this one and as comprehensive as the law academy, you've got to be able to promulgate rules and regulations to ensure the maintenance of a productive learning environment, which may include codes of conduct and disciplinary rules for students. I don't want to have this thing and turn into a public school or something that we don't want. And don't think that these are going to be established willy-nilly. We have this under the supervision of the Attorney General. and to create a code, a student code of conduct that is formed on the support and reinforcement of the established WLEA rules and regulations is a common practice in such cases. And this would be done with the WLEA advisory board. I can't imagine why you wouldn't want, and when you look at the language, 14 to 17, promulgate rules and regulations to ensure the maintenance of a productive learning environment. And it does include a code of conduct and disciplinary rules. This is a big school. It's akin to a technical school, I suppose, but it's still a place where these people are participating, and I think the ability to control this is not only asked for by the academy, but it's sought by the executive branch to do this. I just don't see any harm in it, and maybe if I had more time to talk to the good bringer of this amendment before tomorrow, I might be willing to make some adjustments. But for now, I'd ask you to push back. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I share the concern of the gentleman that's brought the amendment. And I think I'll stand in favor of this amendment, and then if they want to bring a third reading amendment to modify it, that would be fine. But I'd rather have this amendment than now, and then they could modify it with a third amendment, work together that way. And the reason I say this is that it's mandatory in the state of Wyoming that anybody in law enforcement has to have this certification before they can, within a certain period of time, or they can no longer be in law enforcement, they can no longer be a corrections officer, they can no longer, we've even reached down into some of the dispatching positions. So I'd like to say that this could probably, there can probably be something worked out, but the language there right now is very onerous to me for the reasons set forth by the bringer of the amendment.
Representative Kasparek.
Mr. Speaker, as
please proceed.
As a former director of a nursing program, I think it's very important for the director to have the ability to develop rules and regulations, not only for the students of the program, but for the faculty in creating the environment that helps them to learn in the best way. I would be on and against the amendment.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment. I don't think this is like a trade school. I would characterize it more like a boot camp. And I would characterize this to a temporary duty assignment in the military. When somebody goes TDY, when you go TDY, certainly you're subject to the jurisdiction and discipline and rules and regulations of the place that you're assigned to. And just as a last thought, this isn't some draconian deal where the director is going to be sitting in the back room with the door closed, dreaming up these rules and writing them down. These are rules and regulations that are promulgated according to the Administrative Procedures Act. And it's an open and transparent process. And the rules are known before a person goes there. And to run a camp like this the way it ought to be run requires some discipline, it requires rules, and it requires a structure. And through an open and transparent process, that's what the director needs to be able to put in place. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to remind you, many people who are employees of a sheriff or chief, they actually go to work for that sheriff's department first, and they'll work for a few months before the matriculation date starts. So they've actually already started working in many situations for that sheriff or chief of police. Then they go to this training facility to be trained. What my concerns is that I think what they want is already being accomplished through Romanet 2, establishing policies and procedures. Certainly, they have the ability to create policies and procedures as to how they're going to operate the Law Enforcement Academy. What my concern is that now if someone violates, they will have violated a state of Wyoming rule and regulation. This could have a detrimental effect on their ability to continue in the law enforcement world. And it may be something that the sheriff or chief of police, when they look at the situation, because you can just see how this is going to work, the law enforcement academies can take everything seriously. When you tell that back to your sheriff, the sheriff may say, you know, okay, the kid shouldn't have done that, but I don't think that is detrimental to his ability to be a good deputy sheriff. I'm okay with him coming back and being a deputy sheriff. But if he's violated a rule and reg, now there's a problem with potentially him even being certified. That's the problem in my mind, is that suddenly now we have the big thumb of big government, the rule and regulation coming down on this student, when it could have just been done through a nice policy and procedure. You can still have a code of conduct. Just do it through policy and procedure. You don't need the big thumb of state of Wyoming rules and regs done through the Administrative Procedures Act with hearings and governor approval. I just don't see that as a need. I would ask you to vote aye on the amendment.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 35, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 35 has failed. Senate File 35 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 74.
Senate File 74, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to economic development, Wyoming Market Research Center.
Senate File 74 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 75.
Senate File 75, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to economic development, workforce, housing, infrastructure, funds, reversion.
Senate File 75 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 76.
Senate File 76, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to environmental quality regarding voluntary audit report.
Senate File 76 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 6.
Senate Joint Resolution number 6, introduced by Senator Bebout. A resolution involving the Environmental Protection Agency regulations.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that second reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution number 6 and ask for your favorable consideration. If you will recall from our discussion yesterday, the Senate had added to this resolution on page 5, section 5, beginning on line 15, that the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House transmit a copy of this resolution to the Council of State Governments West as the official position of the Wyoming legislature. And my amendment would also include the chairman of the Agriculture and Energy Standing Committee of the National Conference of State Legislatures. And my thinking behind this is that is a committee that I have served on for the last 4 years and have been a vice chairman for the last 3 years, and is a committee that deals with these issues on a regular basis. And Wyoming has been able to partner with our customer states around the nation at these national meetings to prevent damaging proposals coming out of that national body. One of the differences between CSG West and the National Conference of State Legislatures is that when 3/4 of the states vote to support a position, their staff in Washington, D.C. are able to lobby on the Hill on the behalf of the position of the states. And in the past, we have been able to prevent measures that would have eliminated all coal from coming out as being an official position of the states. And we have been able to promote some things that have been very beneficial for not only our coal industry, but our agriculture industry. And these EPA things are as big a concern for agriculture as they are for energy. So this seemed like the place to put it and the place where it might get attention in that large national body.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider this a friendly amendment and urge your support. It was more of an oversight than anything else. We did look at CSG West. We'd been working with them for a number of years on a lot of things in common, but this broadens the scale, and I think it improves the bill.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the point that I wanted to make was that this, the group that is being proposed in this amendment, does lobby for states' individual rights, and so by including them and our official position, it strengthens Wyoming's position when they go and lobby for states' rights.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 6, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 6 has been adopted. Senate Joint Resolution 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business. Is Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I introduced a group of young people that are future leaders of our state earlier, and I didn't realize they were broken up into two separate groups. Again, from Casper Kelly Walsh High School is a group of history and government students that are here. They were on a tour of the Capitol building, and now have come into the gallery, so I wish you'd give me your recognition. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Are we at that order of business of items third reading on the consent list?
Well, we will be. We are at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 41 is off the consent list. There are three amendments and a motorcycle dealership proposal. With that, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate Files 2, 11, 17, 22, 23, 28, 31, 32, and 110.
Does anyone wish to remove any other bills from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 2, introduced by Capital Financing, an act relating to administration and government regarding state treasurer reports, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 11, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to children in need of supervision, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 17, introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to probation and parole amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 22, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to wind energy property rights, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 23, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to elections, mail ballot elections, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 28, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to workers' compensation, state parks, volunteers, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 31, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles, off-road vehicle definition, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 32, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to off-road vehicle trails, state parks trails, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Senate File number 110, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to school capital, school facilities commission reorganization, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Flickrey,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Botten,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye. Davison, Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe, Semlick, Shepperson excused, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Ronish, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59-I, 1 excused. As to Senate File 2, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59-I, 1 excused. As to Senate File 11, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 17, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 22, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 23, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 28, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 31, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 32, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 110, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House bills, I've got to find my list here. Senate File 2, 11, 17, 22, 23, 28, 31, 32, and 110 have passed the House. We're at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. And the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 15.
Senate File 15, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to court jurisdiction, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 15 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, you'll remember yesterday we had an amendment that bumped up the levels in this bill, that brought in small claims court and bumped it up to 10,000, and bumped up the court, circuit court jurisdiction to 100,000. And it did cause some wailing and gnashing of teeth across the state among some of our court personnel and some of our judges. And the real concerns are that by raising the small claims amount by that much, and as I mentioned yesterday, it had just been raised in 2005 by almost from 3,000 to 5,000, that you're putting a system which really doesn't have any filings before the court actually hears the case other than a one-page filing. And so the courts sort of have to go in cold and figure out these what can be very complicated cases. And there's a great deal of concern about bumping up the amount to $10,000 because it, in a very abbreviated procedural process, it puts much more at risk. And so this just allows an increase to $6,000 but bumps it down to what from what we did yesterday. Similarly, on the jurisdiction for the circuit courts, even at the $50,000 level in the original bill, there was a great deal of concern across the state among, particularly among the clerk's offices, that they would not have, with their current budgets, the ability to meet the additional flow of cases. That concern was heightened when it jumped up to $100,000. So this allows a little bit more of an increase than contemplated in the bill, up to $60,000, but I think sets some of those concerns at ease. So I would take any questions, but ask for your favorable consideration.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since we debated this bill yesterday, I've spent considerable time emailing and on the phone with folks. I think this is a masterful compromise that works a system well. There are going to be some people who have increased workload and decreased workload, and there are some who are disappointed about that, and there are some who are very happy about that. But overall, when the judicial branch comes to us, says we realize that we have a problem and this is what we think we can do to address that problem, we need to respect that branch of government, and so I would urge you to pass the amendment and the bill.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have discussed this now 3 days in a row, and I think each day I change my mind on it, because this bill has really confused me. I did sign on to this amendment, and I urge you to vote for the amendment and vote for the bill. But just to back up a little bit and talk about this, you know, this came up during the interim, and it all goes back to this issue of trying to improve our court system. We're being told that our court system is broke, that our court system is not efficient, and by our former Chief Justice, who told us here that in these chambers. So we're trying to find ways to fix this. And I'm happy somebody brought this bill. I'm just not sure if this was the fix. I'm being told it's one of the multiple tools that if we pass this, suddenly the district court dockets will open up better because they're going to push their cases down to the circuit court judges who have more time on their hands, supposedly. And that's great. You know, when you look at the numbers, I didn't think $50,000 was going to do much. It was going to move a few collection cases, which I didn't think was going to take much of the docket off the district court. $100,000 definitely starts to do something. But when you go to $100,000, then suddenly you've caused the problem because now you've shifted again, just to remind you, when you reduce, what this will do potentially is it reduces the number of your district court clerks, which is county paid. It'll increase the number of your circuit court clerks, which are state paid, which is fine. I mean, if that's what we want to do. And so, and that'll be the shift there. And it's clearly going to 100,000 would have been perhaps too much the shift. The 100,000 would have actually fixed the issue that they're trying to fix, but then it would have caused this financial problem. So I think this is a good compromise. The reason I'm saying not to kill the bill is this. I think by having a different number than the other body, this will force it into potentially a conference committee, which would give us some more time to talk about this. It's been a strange deal. Nobody's really talked about this bill until I stuck the 100,000 on there yesterday. Then suddenly everybody wanted to talk about it, which I think was a good thing because it certainly got woke people up. And I think we not only, and I certainly agree with the majority floor leader when he says we have to respect the other branch of government. I don't think, I disagree on the part, I don't think that means when they bring a bill over, we just roll over and go okie dokie. I think we look at it seriously and say sometimes and push back and say, no, I don't think so. And we have to look at our other elected officials. You know, we have the elected district court clerks, and I think we have to take their opinions into account. They're the ones on the front lines doing a lot of this hard work, and the district court clerks are saying they're not real keen on the idea. So we need to listen to what their concerns are. So not only listen to the Supreme Court, and we certainly listen to the Supreme Court, they want this bill, that's fine, and I think That's great. But we have to listen to the district court clerks, too, and not dismiss them out of hand. I would urge you to adopt this amendment. I think it's a good compromise. I think it'll give us a chance to go down the hall and in a conference committee maybe chat about this a little bit more. But I would urge you to support the bill and support the amendment.
Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just need to put my 2 cents worth in on this. I did participate in the interim work with the good representative from District 23, and he was always telling us this is more important than we are, you know, the more important than the attention we were giving it. And the more you think about it, what we're doing is creating two courts to do essentially the same thing, but we've drawn a line between them and created exclusive jurisdiction based solely on the amount of money involved. And as one expands, the other contracts. And as we put more burden on one clerk of court, we hear complaints about additional work. And yet from the one we take the work away from, we're told that we're depriving them of needed revenue. And I don't think the balance should be struck by the way the clerks of court view this. I know it's important because they handle the front line. I think what you have to think about as we go forward with our court system is what kind of a paradigm do you want? We used to have a single court judge, the district judge, and he was the court of general jurisdiction. He could handle just about everything. And that was kind of cool. And then once we created this new creature that has exclusive jurisdiction, we're pushing the district court judge back and to a different area. And I realize we've already gone there. But I think the concept of further dialogue, as was initiated by the bringer of this amendment, is important, and I am speaking on and for the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to divide the amendment between line 21 and line 22.
The motion to divide the amendment is divisible. Okay. So it'd be, we want to make 1 through 22, part 1, and 23 through 40, part 2.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to speak on Division 1 because what the testimony we heard yesterday is in these civil cases, how you come up with what that dollar figure is there. And I think the good representative from House District 23 had said it was the value of a used car. And I'm just a lot more comfortable with that $10,000 that was in the committee or a standing committee amendment the second reading of the $10,000. So I'd like to hear what my learned colleagues that are on this amendment have to think about that, but just as in layman's terms, the $10,000 seemed at a more appropriate level for civil cases.
Just stand at ease for 1 second. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, on and in favor of Division 1. The caution you have to have with the small claims amount is remember, in the small claims court, it's sort of like what you watch with the famous judge on TV and the program that's on there. It's a really abbreviated procedure where You basically, the complainant writes out an affidavit and says, somebody owes me this much money, and this is why, and it's just a one-sheet piece of paper that they usually kind of scrawl it on. It's filed in the court, and then they have to set the case within, I think, 12 days. The court has to set the case. And so you show up, and that's all the court has in hand, is that one piece of paper with a couple sentences scrawled across it. And so the two parties show up, and the judge says, you know, what do you say about this? What do you say about this? And they sort of argue back and forth, and then the court reaches a decision. And that's an okay process, and it makes some sense when you're talking about lower amounts. But when you're talking and you're getting up to a $10,000 figure, it starts to make less and less sense, because you're going in and you're having a judge make a decision based upon very scanty information, and it makes justice much more an item of chance than it needs to be. And if you have a $10,000 claim, you can still bring it in circuit court. You can still represent yourself. It just means that you're going to give the judge a little bit more information, and each party is going to share a little bit more information before you show up and the judge hears your case. And that's appropriate when you start getting to those higher amounts. So I would just urge you to support this amendment. Let's take it back down to $6,000. Remember, just 6 years ago, it was at $3,000, and we raised it to $5,000. And so I think this is an appropriate compromise.
Anyone else for their first time on Division One? Representative Greer?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I stand in support of Division One. Just to expand on that just a little bit, my understanding of the reason of bringing this bill was, and see, I disagree that the court system's broke. I think it works very well. It's just we need to try to get people in front of the court sooner. We need to get to our remedy quicker for people. And with the small claims process, if we raise that, and I happen to agree with my good friend that uses the term willy-nilly an awful lot. the line is arbitrary, but if that number on the small claims gets too high, what happens is we're going to consume a lot more of the judge's time. And what we need to understand is that judge is going to have to sit down and do a lot of the work and take a lot more time that is work that's normally done by the attorneys. And so I really feel by raising that number, we're kind of defeating some of the purpose of this bill, which is to allow everyone to be able to get in and get their matter heard and decided before a court, which is the overall goal. And I've watched, just in amusement, some of the small claims proceedings, because they're on television, because they are amusing. But it does take an awful lot of time for the judges to sit there with those folks and go through that process. So I would caution raising that amount too high. This is going to be discussed some more and looked at again. Let's go ahead and go with this amendment and see how this first step works and look at it again. Thank you.
Ms. Speaker Pro Tem, for your first time on Division Number One.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to make a clarification. The good representative from District 41 that divided the amendment, I don't think it does what he thinks it does, because I heard him say, let's defeat the Division One so you could go back to 10,000. The problem is, if you defeat Division One, you actually go back to 5,000, because at the very top of that, it says delete the second reading amendment. And maybe someone else reads that differently. But I think if you defeat it, I don't think it takes you back to the second reading of 10,000. I think it takes you back to 5,000. But maybe someone else reads that differently.
Second time on Division Number One. All right. All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate File 15, Division One, which is lines 1 through 22, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division One has passed. We are now on Division Two. Would anyone like to So nobody wants to speak for first time, second time at all? Do you want to speak to the amendment or not? Representative Stepson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd urge you to vote aye on Division 2.
Okay. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 15, Division 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division 2 is also adopted. Senate File 15, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo. Berger. Blake. Flickery. Bonner. Botten. Brechtel. Brown. Burkhart. Bird. Campbell. Kennedy. Childers. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Edmonds. Eklund. Esquivel. Freeman. Gay. Gingery. Goggles. Greer. Green. Harshman. Harvey. Harvey. Hunt. Illaway. Yagi. Kasparic. Croker. Crone. Lockhart. Laux. Lubno. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen. Peterson. Petroff. Korberg. Roscoe. Semlich. Shepperson excused. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Throne. Braunish. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller. Aye to no. Esquivel. Aye to no. Edmonds. Aye to no. Freeman. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 39 ayes, 20 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 15, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 15 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41.
Senate File 41, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to travel and tourism regarding the Film Industry Financial Incentives Program, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Okay, we will start with third reading amendment number 2. Go to 3 and then back to 1. Representative, Madam Chair, Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 41, and I ask for your favorable consideration. This is a concern that I had when we discussed the bill in committee of the whole, Mr. Speaker, and the essence of the amendment, if you will go to page 2, of the engrossed copy on line 7. It deletes the language are continuously and it inserts shall. And then if you will go to line 8, it deletes appropriated to the board too. So, Mr. Speaker, that line then starting with the word funds on line 7 would read funds in the account shall be used only for reimbursement of. I found the language I'm deleting, I found to be troublesome to me, particularly with the use of the word continuously appropriated. And we generally appropriate money, funds to a program, not to a board. And I think this makes it very clear how the funds in the account are to be used. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Botten.
Or Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment is really good. And in brevity, vote for it. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Representative Chairman Brown, first time.
Mr. Speaker, on and against amendment. Mr. Speaker, these are words of art. They're commonly used in the statute, and I'm about to tell you how commonly, because I had them do some research. The same words, the same verbiage, the same mechanics are employed in 91633, 91639, 91702, 922604, 94719, 912302, 912305, 912602, 912804, 915-104 and 144-201. And those words are used when the purpose of the bill is to appropriate a fund that can be drawn on whenever the conditions for drawing the funds have been met. And it doesn't have to come back and be separately authorized by the legislature or by the JAC or somebody else. When the conditions have been met, they can draw on them. Now, it's commonly used in enterprise funds. Some of these statutes I read off are about enterprise funds, which some of you may be familiar with. One's about workforce development training fund. One's about the wildlife and natural resource account. And those are the sorts of things. And this is another one of those where we say we're going to appropriate a sum of money for this. It has conditions attached to it. When those conditions are met and when it's appropriate, the board can disperse that money. And it's continuously appropriated so that any point in time where those conditions are met, we empower the board to disperse the money. If we don't do that and we make this change, then you're going to leave a question in there. So the film is done. All the conditions are satisfied. They come to the board. They put in all the chits, the receipts, everything they need to. And the board says, well, now what? I guess we go back to the JAC and see if we can disperse the money. And that's the purpose of these words of art continuously appropriated. And so I would, on and against the amendment, I would urge you to vote against it because it's going to cobble this thing up to where it won't work the way it's intended.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Sponsor call the question. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 41, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 41 has failed. We are on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 41. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Based on the debate we had on the first reading, I felt that it might help give some comfort to the House if we put in a sunset date. So basically that's what the amendment does. So I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 41. So on your first page on line 1, it would delete the word repealing and insert the word extending. And then the next big change is on page 2. I thought it was important that on line 8, that it's used for qualified reimbursements and expenditures of a production. I think that we stressed that in the debate, but not until a project is completed and that they have actual receipts would they obtain any type of a rebate if they qualified. And then most importantly, the third thing is to extend this program until June 30th, 2016, so that we've reinserted the sunset provision. The other comment I would make on this is that this program only started in 2007, and so we have not given it a long time to work yet, and so that would give this an opportunity to have 5 more years. Thank you, sir.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Botten.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also urge adoption of this amendment. One of the things we do here as a body is occasionally we get the opportunity to enter into a really good compromise. There's some folks that I think are probably not really convinced that they want to make this program permanent forever and ever. This will give the program another 5 years to prove itself, and also if it's not proven at the end of 5 years, well, we can deal with it then. So in my impression, this is really responsible, and I urge your adoption of this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, on and in favor of this amendment, I do believe that this program I believe it does definitely have some merit, and it's still a very young program by all standards, and we need to continue to give this program an opportunity to work. So I support the 5-year extension. Thank you.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question on the really kind of the operation of this
fund and this account. And if it, my question is, if it runs out, I mean, I think there was $1.4 million in it. If it runs out before 2016 occurs, is there some automatic appropriation that goes in, or does it have to be, it has to be replenished by this body before it could be even occurring to 2016, is that right?
Okay. Anyone else for their first time, second time, Representative Botten? Or, excuse me, Chairman McComey, did you want to go? Okay, Representative Botten.
Mr. Speaker, that's a good question. There's $1.2 million being carried over. There is no automatic deposit into this fund. If additional monies are necessary, they'd have to go to appropriations and request that money. They'd have to justify it. If it can't be justified, there's no further money. So our body would have to approve it. Thank you.
Anyone else? All those in favor of third reading, amendment number 3 to Senate File 41, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 41 has been adopted. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I would move third reading amendment number 1, also referred to as the Bad Fifi Amendment. I have some real concerns with this bill, and I want to address a few of the things that bothered me and kind of came up during the initial debate that we had. One was the handout that was given to us that showed how effective it worked, and it showed six movies on the back as examples of why we need this. And I looked them all up on the internet, and every single one of those six films was filmed before this went into effect. So it really is irrelevant, and if anything, it actually shows that we don't need the incentive to get people to come film in Wyoming. But the main reason that I guess the other big thing that was brought out was a lot of other states do it. I think the number given was 45. If I'm wrong, the exact numbers are irrelevant. And a lot of times when other states do things in statute, it is very good to look at how it's worked, to look at what problems they've encountered, did it fix the problem. But when it comes to spending money, I would submit that the majority of the states out there have a lot of budget problems. And so if other states are spending money in a certain way, I would actually suggest that's probably a reason not to do it. So the fact that other states are doing it isn't a good reason to do it. One specific state that was mentioned as having the best incentive was the Land of Enchantment. And I did some research last night, and they're currently facing a $450 million budget shortfall. So following their lead, I'm not with how they spend money, I'm not sure is a good reason to do it. But I put together a handout for everybody that is a proposal to promote tourism in Wyoming through a motorcycle dealership. And I put this together, I guess you'd say in jest, because I obviously am not actually proposing this. But I can demonstrate how I could make these numbers really work. These numbers are not pie-in-the-sky numbers. These numbers could be real, and I was actually conservative on my estimate. If we could give a motorcycle dealership in the center of the state a 15% incentive or rebate on their expenses, that dealership would be able to sell everything cheaper than all the states around and attract thousands of people to Wyoming a year. It would result in a minimum of $45 million spent in our state that would have otherwise been spent out of state. It could create 120 new full-time jobs. We could even give every single one of those people that bought a motorcycle a DVD of one of those six movies to take home and promote Wyoming if we wanted. And this actually would work in the sense that as a motorcycle dealer, we have a franchise agreement where a customer actually has to come take physical delivery of the product at our location. So we couldn't just sell stuff cheaper and ship it out of state. This would actually bring people in into the state. And I think if I were really to propose this as a real bill, I think a couple things would happen. First is I hope that the people who elected me would vote me out and vote someone else in, because it is so absurd. And secondly is I hope that it would unanimously die on a vote in the House. But in principle, there's no difference between this and what we're doing with FIFI. It is taking private money from taxpayers and giving it to a private company to show favoritism to them. And there's a word for that. It's called socialism. A lot of people have said, well, we need FIFI because it helps. It helps this company. I received a phone call this morning from a filmmaker who had benefited from this program, and I don't doubt that he did benefit from it. But every socialistic program benefits somebody. You take money from somebody and you give it to somebody else. The person receiving the money obviously benefits from it. So the issue isn't whether or not it benefits people. The issue is whether or not it's socialism. I would submit that it is, and I would submit it's a step that we don't want to go.
For your first time, Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and for the bill, with regard to the promotional aspect and the socialism aspect, this is about promotion. We do things to promote our state. In fact, the amount that's been appropriated so far would not even come close to buying a 30-second Super Bowl commercial. In fact, it would take about five times the amount that's been expended so far to buy one 30-second Super Bowl commercial. And yet our five films that we've produced under this program have been shown numerous times on National Geographic, on sports stations, across college campuses, and will repeatedly be shown on DVDs. Why do we see ads on television for tourism for other states? Because it works, and because tourism is a major economic driver. In our case, it's our second largest industry. 30% of all private sector jobs in our state, 30% of all private sector jobs are in the hospitality, tourism, and leisure industry. We generate $2.5 billion in revenue through tourism in the state. And as the good chair of transportation pointed out the other day, that money is circulated seven times. We can choose to be proactive about promoting our state, or we can choose to be reactive, because tourism is an industry that is very hard hit in bad economic times. I think it's a good investment for our state, and I encourage you to vote no on the amendment, yes on the bill.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Certainly against the amendment and for the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, I reflect back. I was in this body when we put this program into being. The idea was to expose Wyoming to the outside world. It was kind of a window on Wyoming. And as you look at the various documentation that's been handed out, I think it has achieved that goal, fully realizing not all filming was done in the state of Wyoming. But nevertheless, it conveys an impression in people's minds, even if it wasn't, that Wyoming is the place to visit. We have a national monument up in the northern part of our state, and I submit that there are people that come and look at that monument because of a film that was run in that regard. I look at FIFI as being a complementary arm to our budgetary appropriation that we have for tourism. Next week, all of us on this floor are going to be heavily engaged in the budget for next year. And after sitting on JAC for 4 years, I can assure you we put thousands of dollars into the tourism budget. And you don't know really what has happened from that, how many people we have brought back. But FIFI here is a complementary arm to that, because we're riding in the rumble seat of other people's labors. They put a lot of expenditures into this thing, and we, from the state of Wyoming, when you have credits, you have tourism, you have other things that's brought in, it's an opportunity for us to go forward. One other aspect of this, when we bring tourism into the state of Wyoming, the flagship, of course, that we have is Yellowstone National Park, followed by our state parks and historic sites that we have to show individuals. Now, what sets it apart here just a little bit with FIFI, they have another opportunity. It may be the Red Desert over in southwest Wyoming. If there's a film made there, there'll be people that come to that to see what's happening. And so that is a free gratis type thing. It's a complimentary deal, and I would strongly encourage the body to reject this amendment. Stay with FIFI. There are safeguards in here. Look at the dollar appropriation. $554,000 has been rebated to production companies, and we still have substantial funds. This is not in the fund request. Extend this sunset for another period of time.
President Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The standing for the amendment against the bill, it doesn't really hurt for us to ask ourselves, but I think the sponsor from House District 35 raises a valid principle of good government. Our highest level of prosperity occurs when there is a healthy free enterprise system with the least interference from government. And we used to have a good representative from Sheridan who would come to the microphone quite often and just remind us of this very point. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Boy, the things we come up with to get rid of some of this money. I have a question for some of the sponsors of the bill about, there was recently a documentary film that won an Academy Award in the last Academy Awards that attacked our largest tax-generating industry in Wyoming. Did we fund that?
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, against the amendment for the bill, I have served on the committee that had a lot to do with this before, and initially I was highly skeptical of it. However, over the years that we reviewed what was being done and how it could be approached, we need a bill like this. We need to continue this program. It's slow to develop. For one thing, having the community colleges develop the programs to develop the workers to get involved in these programs will take time, and it's certainly justified. If you listen to the testimony in the committee about how other states, highly competitive in going after the film industry because, as we've probably heard before, it brings in a lot of money, brings in a lot of people. I can remember going to Casper when there were insects in the area called Hell's Half Acre, and I had to speed up driving by there, concerned about that. But anyway, that being said, I think it's a good program, and I strongly urge that you pass it. Thank you.
Representative Eklund.
Good enough.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It works against my principles to, like the good representative from the center of the state said, private money for private, or just kind of randomly picking an industry and giving them some money. But they've used up $600,000, and they still have plenty of money to use up. And I kind of like, it works in favor of a principle that I have in frugal spending. We've got bills we're going to work on that we've overfunded sectors of our government by millions and millions of dollars. So I guess I kind of like the idea of very little money spent, the fact that they didn't use it up. The only reason I'd like to see the bill die is so that we don't have future legislators don't have to get up and debate this issue again.
First time, Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I just like to bring us back, focus back a little bit on what we're doing here. This is another form of an exemption. We're giving exemptions to the wind energy. We give exemptions to all of our industry that was blasted by this documentary that was mentioned. So that they can upgrade their equipment and they can do these things. We're now empowering the business council to give money to bring in the data centers. This is just a form that has. This is how this form takes place, and it's, to be honest with you, it's got a lot more control than some of these other exemptions that we're giving. So on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Okay, we're going to go in alphabetical order, so just line up, I guess. Just kidding. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
I thought we were all required to speak on this bill. Just to remind you once again, tourism is the second largest industry in the state. But I wanted to go back. I was going to actually give the sponsor of the award the Creativity Award because I certainly appreciated his argument. It's definitely the most creative argument I've seen so far this year on the floor. But it's not a new argument. The motorcycle part's new, but my old seatmate across the aisle who's no longer here used to talk about this all the time, about his concerns with the business council. And I think this goes way beyond Fifi. This is a philosophical argument about what you think about the business council as a whole. What we did, we passed a constitutional amendment, Article 16, Section 12, that allows us to do economic development. We not only do it in the tourism industry, we do it in almost every industry. We do it with your business parks, your Main Street programs, your business ready programs, community readiness, over and over. This is what the business council does. We've had this big debate in our community. We have a little factory where these guys actually build robots for the Navy. And people get upset. I mean, why is the state supporting that factory? Why are they giving them state funds? Because they don't give my company state funds. Why are we trying to encourage that company and not a different company? And these debates continue to go on and on. And it starts to be the question as to, because I think what the sponsor of this amendment is getting at is, should the business council continue to exist at all? That's the bigger issue. I think it's a good thing that we're doing this economic development across the board in multiple industries, not only the tourism industry, but all the other industries. You know, we give a lot of sales tax exemptions. I can remember the first session I came down here, there was a bill to give a sales tax exemption for bull semen. And I remember that being a long debate. And for some reason, for that industry, that was extremely important to them. I don't think the bill actually passed in the end, but we talked about it for hours as to that issue. We give sales tax exemptions. We give money directly as incentives. That's a large part of what, for whatever reason, we think that's our role, to try to spur the economy within this state. I actually think that's a good strategy, and I would encourage you to support this bill, but also support all the things the Business Council is trying to do with all of their economic development across the board.
Representative Esquivel.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Speaker, against the amendment for the bill. And there was a weekend where I was really looking forward to go and see this movie. And it was about our great state. And as a representative of this great state, after seeing the movie and seeing that it was actually filmed in another state, I kind of came out of the theater with my head down and kind of ashamed of being a representative of the state. You know, if we're going to have movies about this state, let's film them in this state.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, is it your first or second time?
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, this would be a first time for a second time.
Excellent. Representative Botten.
First time for a second. Thank you.
Representative Bonner, for your second time? Are we on second times already?
No, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, this would be a first time, and I'll take it.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you. Won't repeat all the numbers. This was a study that the Interim Travel Committee undertook. We spent considerable time over the summer visiting with folks. We looked into this program, and we have pronounced it a good program. Want to see it continued. The numbers. You got to have a $200,000 bar of expenditures to become a qualifying production. They meet that. The total of $2.1 million, these five projects that have so far been funded, have also generated another nearly $50,000 in local sales tax, those kinds of things. But the one thing that I wanted to mention in particular is the jobs, economic development, incentives, and jobs creation. How many times do we hear about the Business Council and the other grant-funded programs where the applicant says, we're going to create 11 jobs. My project is going to create 20 jobs. This project will create X number of jobs. Well, in this particular FIFI program, we're talking about documented jobs, hires, not jobs that we're going to create. These are hired jobs that have produced $1 million in wages over the course of just the 3 short years. So I think it's an incentive program that is working. Please, against the amendment, in favor of the bill.
Representative Yagi, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we need to talk about what was brought up by the good bringer of the amendment and look at what we're really doing in the state and evaluating. The Wyoming Business Council was brought up, and if this is a part of that, and what are we doing? I just think we need to look at, are we creating unfair competition? And are we getting our fair market value for the money that we put in it? We need to take the politics out of it, look at it, and see if it makes sense. Look at the outcomes, the number of jobs, the amount of money that's brought in from the projects that we are proposing. So I kind of think we're a little bit skewed in handing out and not evaluating. Thank you.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, on the bill and against the amendment, I think we have to step back a minute and say, why do people come to Wyoming? They're tourists. They didn't come to see the wonderful black diamonds up in the northeast part of the state. They don't necessarily come to see oil derricks. They don't necessarily come to see holes in the ground. Why do they come to Wyoming? It's because they've heard about it or they've seen something about it. Now, admittedly, the movie Shane was produced, and some of you don't even know Shane. No, you can mention that one. Some of us do remember that. Some of us do remember that, and some of us, if we've seen it recently or 20 years ago, do remember. Why do we like the western part of the state? It's because it showed the mountains, and it showed something that was really unique. And I know that movie is still shown, and people do look at it. And people do think, gee, I'd like to go see some of that. Just because you say, well, we haven't produced a movie in 10 years, children do see the encounters of a third kind. They do want to see the first national monument. They do want to see some things. And if we can promote an industry by spending a little bit of money, it is tourism. And the tourism department works very hard to produce and to get these people here. And it does do some good. So, on and for the bill, against the amendment.
Representative Pedersen, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem for my first, so I may have a second.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would call this take one if we're actually rolling right now. Thank you for all this debate. I'm on and against the amendment, of course, and for this bill. And I'm going to be brief. When I brought this idea probably in 2005, it's because of the benefits that I saw in the different communities across the state of Wyoming. And, in fact, it's what's enriched my life as a legislator in Wyoming. It's made me very proud to have had the opportunity through the years, in fact over 20 years, to travel the state of Wyoming every corner, not on motorcycle, but certainly capturing folks on motorcycles across the state. And I realized that when some of these films were produced that the competition was heavy. And at that time we didn't have a lot of money before we started this program to do a lot of even marketing, and I saw that it really is like an adjunct to what the Business Council and tourism does.
The other thing is that how it encourages educating and providing jobs for our younger folks in the state of Wyoming. And not only that, a lot of folks who have traveled all over the world who have decided they want to make Wyoming their residence, and yet they probably spend anywhere from 6 to 9 months, or 6 months, I guess that would be, out of the state working on projects. But when they come home, it's back to Wyoming. So we've got community colleges now about to start some programs that will add some other type of curriculum and help us build on that workforce. And, you know, let's just remember that we do a lot of incentives, and we're doing quite a few of them this session, and we've talked about those, the incentives and the exemptions. It's what we do. But we need to be fiscally responsible. We need to be vigilant about those programs. And we also must not always start and stop a program before we see what those successes are. So thank you very much, and I ask for your favorable eye on the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you. Back to the bill. You know, one of the concerns that I have is that it is a continuous appropriation, $900,000. They'll have a standard budget. If that's my understanding. If that's the direction we want to go, then you know, I don't mind us considering this on a yearly basis as to whether or not we want to give them an exception. But if we're going to create a standard budget for them, I can't support the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. We are on to second times. Representative Botten.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. The S word has been rendered. I'll ignore it. Let's say that instead of spending $500,000 on a reimbursement program over the last 4 years that had been spent at some big back east advertising firm and a few commercials had been run, and that would have been nice. It would have promoted tourism, and maybe a few people would have come. But after the airing, they'd be over. It would take more money to run them. I don't know how much $500,000 buys, but I don't think it would last 4 years. And I don't think that would be the big S word to hire advertising consultants and run some ads. But a different approach was taken. And that was, let's try attracting the movie industry here. And that was done with some success over the last 4 years. $2 million has been spent here by those outfits. $1 million of that was paid in wages to Wyoming people. Had it been just an advertising campaign and all that money had been sent out, none of that spending would have been happening in Wyoming over the last 4 years. So against the amendment, in support of the bill.
For your second time, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. Like it or not, we're all creatures of popular culture. And when you live in the boondocks, like I do, it's hard to describe to people where you live in the great state of Wyoming. And I used to say that I lived 50 miles to the west of that big rock that you saw in the movie Close Encounters. I can't say that anymore because that's a generation old movie, and my wife informs me that not many people have seen that movie anymore. So now what I say is that I live 90 miles down the road from where they have the motorcycle rally. And people understand that and can relate to that. And so by having this incentive, we give something real and tangible and physical that people can grab onto about our state. And we do an interesting job of not promoting ourselves as well as we should. Although, you know, we've discovered some new and interesting things about our state this session. We're now able to market our wind and our cold weather. But the things that we really should be marketing, we need to do a better job of marketing, and this is an opportunity to do that. So I'd urge you to be against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Pedersen, for your second time.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, for my second time.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little bit of research here. I just pulled up
typed in Wyoming movies, movie shot in Wyoming. And I got tired of counting. I quit at 80. There were, dating back all the way to 1904. Shane, wasn't 1904, maybe the Great Train Robbery or something like that. But there's been a lot of movies shot in Wyoming, and it's really interesting. It seems like it's slowed down, if anything, in the last decade or so. But anyway, we've had enough discussion on this. Google movies made in Wyoming and take a look at that. It's pretty interesting.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Croker.
Thank you. Just a couple things I'd like to mention is one, I noticed that out of all the arguments against my amendment, not a single person could explain how my proposal for the motorcycle dealership was different in principle from this film industry proposal, and that's because it's not. It is exactly the same in principle. It is socialism. I do agree with the points that the good speaker pro tem made in that there are a lot of other programs out there that are similar to this, and I would argue that yes, we need to take a look at those, and we probably need to do away with some of those at all. Up in the northwest part of our state, obviously a big issue has been the delisting of the wolves. Well, I would suggest that it's time to delist Fifi. And I guess the other principles, when we start programs like this, who's next? What industry is going to be next? What in a couple of years, what industry are we now going to be giving tax dollars to? And I would suggest that the amount doesn't matter because it's an issue of principles. And I'll just close with an analogy of a rich man who went into a bar and saw a beautiful woman and sat down next to her and asked her if she would go home with him for $1 million. And she's kind of looked embarrassed and said, well, yeah, I would. And then he said, well, how about for $100? She slapped him across the face and said, what kind of a woman do you think I am? And he looked her dead in the eye and said, oh, we've already clearly established that. All we're doing now is haggling over price. And when you try and say that it doesn't matter because of the amount that's there, that's what we're doing. We're haggling over price. We're saying a little bit of socialism's okay as long as it doesn't exceed a certain dollar amount. But I would suggest that dollar amount's going to grow and grow and grow. And at this point, I will withdraw the amendment.
The amendment has been withdrawn without objection. House bills, or actually Senate file 41, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart. Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic. Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Excuse.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
No.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick. Shepperson excused. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Cheaters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 45 ayes, 12 noes, 3 excused.
Senate File 41, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 41 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I have to admit that the Majority Floor Leader grossly underestimated the amount of time and passion that would be included in this debate today. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed. Committee announcements. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet in about 15 minutes in House 18 because some of us want to go to Room 302 for Council of State Governments get-together. But we're going to discuss when we get together Senate File 14, Counties Election Districts, Senate File 45, Engrossed Professional Services Procurement, Senate File 147, Service of Process Fees, Senate File 113, Engrossed Surveyors and Engineers Practice Act Revisions.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning, Friday, at 7:30 a.m. in Room H10 to consider the following bills. Senate File 47, Engrossed Concealed Weapons, which we hope to get out, and stop all these emails that are plugging everything up. Senate File 48, Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Account Board, and Senate File 62, Large Project Funding.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, your committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet today, 10 minutes after adjournment this afternoon in Room H17. We will consider Senate File 51, Engrossed Safety Belt Violations, Senate File 72, Fair Practices of Equipment Act Amendment, and Senate File 115, DUI Child Endangerment Fines.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Judiciary Committee Number 1 will meet tomorrow, Friday, February 11th at 7:59 a.m. to consider the following bills. Senate File 79, Recreation Safety Act Waiver on behalf of minors, Senate File 134, Liens, and Senate File 138, Child Custody Orders Abandonment.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to remind the people that we have the flag ceremony in the rotunda during lunch.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health and Social Services, will meet Friday, February 11th, 15 minutes after noon recess in Room H17, where we will hear Senate File 102, Medicaid Cost Study, and Senate File 50, Engrossed Medicaid Options Study, if time allows.
We will be in recess till 2 p.m.